You know, we all have access to a lot of information, don't we? At your fingertip, you can have different things like Bible studies, sermons, podcasts, you name it. It's all out there. Never have we had more access to the things of God, spiritual things, millions of sermons than we have today. But James is going to show us in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 27, that it's not enough just to hear. Not enough. We can hear, but our lives being changed. James is going to show us it's not how much we know, but it's what we do with what we know that God has given to us. And this is such a dynamic passage of Scripture. It is life-changing from the standpoint that when it gets from your head to your heart and you begin to think about what is the Christian life, how is that manifested, what's my responsibility, obligation, and joy as a Christian to walk this thing called the Christian life, it will begin to change us. James chapter 1, verse 22, notice the Bible says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." Now, that's just not a statement. He's saying, be doers of the word and not hearers only, because if you're only a hearer, you are deceiving yourself. So I asked a question on your outline in the bulletin. Is it possible to come to church every Sunday and not be changed? You don't have to answer that out loud. Is it possible to come every Sunday and not be changed? And if we're not changed, is it Jesus' fault? No. Look what he did for us. He saved us. His life, his death, his resurrection. We trusted in the gift of eternal life. Is it the Holy Spirit's fault? No. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. It's the most unaccessed power in the Christian life. It's like a stick of dynamite that's put back in a closet. Is it the Word of God that it's not sufficient? No, the Bible tells us that the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. So what's the problem? What's the problem? And the problem, James tells us, is religious deception. And one of the aspects of this deception is this, and I think this is very normal, sad to say, in the Christian life. That for some reason we think that hearing is enough. We think if we come, we hear, that's enough. You know, we come to church, we hear, okay, I've got that taken care of. That is enough. And James says if hearing without doing, without an application of the Word of God, it is spiritual deception. You can come to church every Sunday, sit in the pew, listen to the sermon, even agree with what's being said, and leave without any change. God has had my nose into this the last several months. Retiring, resigning from a church of 18 years, and then seeing, God, what do you want out of my life? What's going on in my life? And Lord, I'm willing to go anywhere, do anything. I just need to know that you're in it. And it was like, because I can get very hard on you. I can say, you people don't love the Lord. You're not living it. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. And preachers are notorious for that. It's easy for us to look at you and say what you're not doing. But the Holy Spirit got a hold of my life and said, before you start pointing out everybody else, you better look at your own life. Can you come to church every Sunday and not be changed? Can the pastor preach every Sunday and not be changed? Absolutely. So I'm telling you, my struggle is with me. I'll get to you. But my struggle is me. You know what the Word of God says, what we're to be about, and yet that not be matching. It's called deception. Deception means to be drawn away. To be pulled away. Here's the truth. You're being pulled away from the truth. And that truth is, if you think hearing is enough without doing, you are in spiritual deception. Say I want my life to be healthier. So I go buy a treadmill. And I read all about it, what the good of it, how it can help you, even like heart disease, pumps the heart, gets things going. You feel better when you walk on a treadmill. How many of you, I better not do that. How many of you know what a treadmill is? And so, and you can study about that treadmill. Weight management, it burns calories. Is it a good thing to have a treadmill? Not if you don't get on it. Not if you don't walk. I've been in houses before where their treadmill was a good clothesline. Throw clothes across it, hadn't been used in months and months and months. What good is knowing that, the health benefits, without doubt, scientifically proven to be good for you, and yet what good is knowing about it if we're not doing it? Would my knowledge of that be worthless? You were answering it first, now you're not answering. It would be worthless. What good is it? I think about the scripture, him that knoweth to do good and doesn't do it, it's sin. So when I know something, I see God's word, I know something, but I don't apply it, I don't ask the Holy Spirit to empower me to do it. He's stressing here, please. He's writing to these Christians under persecution in Asia Minor. And he's saying, please be doers of the word. Circle the word doers. That simply means practice. Live it. A doer of the word will apply the word of God. Then you will begin to see the fruit of the Spirit in that person's life. And the Bible tells us that we're to be known by our fruit. You say, well, what is that? Galatians, you can read this when you get home. You might want to write it out on the side there. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. That should be evident in our lives as we are hearing God's word and then applying God's word. Doers are not passive. Listen, doers are not passive listeners. They are active practitioners. That was good enough to write down. Active practitioners. Do you know the difference between a passive listener and an active listener? You ever thought about that? Take two students in a classroom. One sits in the back, half asleep, doodles through the whole thing, writes pictures, not caring a thing what the teacher's saying. It's going in one ear and out the other. That's passive listening. Just don't get any. We're there, but we're not getting anything out of it. We're not intentional about what we're hearing. The other student leans forward, takes notes, both ears open, asking questions, and then later they take what they've learned and they put that into practice. That's active listening. What that means is that person is engaged, they're intentional, and they're productive. That's the difference. Now, what James is saying is that when you're listening to God's word without doing anything, you are like that first student. How many of you ever audited a class in college? Lord, check me on that one. Sometimes I don't listen, but I listen that time. What you do is you can go to class. For those of you who might like to audit the class, what you do is you go to the class. There are other students in the class. They're not auditing the class. They're taking it for credit. So they have to take tests. They have to do assignments. When you audit a class, you don't have to do anything. Just sit in that class and just listen and not have any responsibility whatsoever. Are you getting my point? I need to drill a little deeper. Some of you are auditing the class. And you might not like me after this sermon. but I love you. And I'm going to, you know, this is a heavy thing for me. I'm going to stand before God one day and give an account how I pastored you. I don't like that. Because sometimes I want to shave the corners. Sometimes I want to say, well, I don't know about that. But the truth is, in your life, in my life, God must be true. And if anything contradicts that, that's got to be a lie. You stand for the things of God. And I know it's easy to get nitpicky and things. Say, well, I come, I listen. I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad you're listening. But I want you to do, when you study Scripture and you're reading Scripture in quiet time, say, what? What is this saying? When you're reading the script, what is this saying? And then say, so what? What is the Scripture saying? So what? That's application. So what? How does that change my life? How does that deal with my life? How are these Scriptures dealing with me in these areas? So some Christians treat the Bible engaging intellectually. I know a lot of people that love theology. They'll study theology till the cows come home. But many that I know have nothing of the heart-empowered Holy Spirit to live daily the truths that are revealed in the Scriptures. Gathering information, listen, is not transformation. It's not. We can know a lot of things, but in accumulating facts and inspiring talks is not the acid test for the Christian life. It is, what am I doing with the Word of God? How am I living in my life the Word of God? And only when that knowledge, you have to have knowledge. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. You have to have that knowledge, but it's only completed or only effectual when it's acted out or when it's lived out. So James explains, in case you didn't get that, James explains what he means, and look at verse 23. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away immediately forgetting what he looks like. Let's talk about mirrors. Circle that word mirrors. You're not going to understand this passage unless you understand what I'm about to say. Now, if I had a mirror right here, it is reflective glass, and it shows me exactly what I look at. Some of you say, you need mercy. Exactly what I look like. There it is. That's me. Ancient mirrors were nothing like that. They did not have reflective glass. You know what they did? They would take brass, and they would polish it till they could begin to see a few things. And they had to study it to find out, oh, did I put that makeup on wrong? Boy, you see what I'm saying? It's not like mirrors we have. And that's what he's saying here. It's like studying, looking at. You've got to intensely look at an ancient mirror to get anything out of it. To see what needs to be taken away, what needs to be added, what needs to... It's just a fuzzy reflection of you. You got that? Raise your hand. You got that? Because this verse is fixing to come alive to you. So, what James is saying here is that we're looking into a polished bronze or other metal. It's imperfect. It is distorted. But that's all they had, so they looked at that to see what needed to be done. And certainly the image is not as clear as ours are today, and so they would stare at themselves. You got to see that. That's a very important point. And as a side note, let me help you with a verse. Write this verse and study it later. Well, I'll just tell you. You probably know this verse. But now we see through a glass. What's the next word? Darkly. That word glass is mirror. Now we see through a mirror that we got to study and look at. We don't understand. I'm telling you, as Kenny was saying, things happened this past week that just so painful. Do we understand all that mess going on? We're seeing right now through a glass darkly. It's polished copper or brass. And the Greek word there used is meaning riddle or obscure image. We don't see it clearly. How many of you have questioned some things in your spiritual walk because you didn't see it clearly? If you don't ask that, you're not a student of the Word. Many things happen. You ever question why baby dies? Young babies die? You ever question about things that happen? How can a son murder their mother? So we see through, this should help you. We see through a glass darkly now. There are many things in this life I do not understand. I'm seeing through a glass darkly. You know what the end of that verse says? But then, face to face. Woo! That's shouting area right there. Face to face. You ever got out of the shower and the mirrors were foggy? How many of you take showers? God, y'all making me drill a lot this morning. That's what this is taught. We see the image, but we don't see all the details. And guess what? We will not see the details until we see him face to face. And then probably some of those questions you wanted to ask won't even come to your mind. You're just going to say, holy, holy, holy. So when he's talking about here that we don't see God's full purposes, we don't see his plans. They're not in real clear detail. We see them in shadows. We see them in partial things, but thank God we're going to see them face to face. Now, picture this. We see through a glass darkly now, that's in this life, but then we're going to see face to face, that's eternity. The language here is, then we're going to talk to him face to face. We're going to see totally, 100% clearly in this way. This promise is the veil of mystery and the partial knowledge that we go through is going to be lifted, and God's truth will plainly be seen. Now, with that in mind, let's read this verse again, see if it means any more to you. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says, is like a man who looks at his face in a polished bronze glass mirror. You follow it? Doesn't see it clearly. A lot of distortions there. But even then, he looks at it and goes away immediately, forget what he looks like. That which he or she can see. I mean, how many of you get up and go to work and you look in the mirror and your hair is sticking like this and you got toothpaste on your blouse or shirt and you got a smut thing on your face and then you just go to work? Oh, you do? We have one honest one here today. You messed up my illustration. That would be, I've noticed you dear wonderful people can mess up my illustrations. Pretty good. But you would go, wait a minute. He saw it. Why didn't you do something about it? Do we not do that spiritually? You have your devotion in the morning, you read the scriptures, and something you say, oh, that's good. And then you walk out the door, never to think about it again, never for it to have any influence in your life. James, I didn't call it this. James calls it spiritual deception. In those ways, he's saying, why do you spend all your time looking at that bronze polished thing and you're studying it, but then you just forget it? Why? And he says that is spiritual deception. Now, application. What does it say? Now what? So what? The Bible is our ultimate mirror. We look into it for our lives. And we are to be hearers and doers of the word. And if we're only hearers, then it's meaningless. Why do we spend so much time at church? Why do we spend so much time on Wednesday evenings? Why do we spend so much time in our daily study of Scripture if we're not going to do it? This is a hard sermon, isn't it? It's hard for me because I am your leader. And God knows my heart. I'm thinking about going to extended fast or something to say, God, what are you saying? What are you saying to the body of Christ today? What's going on in the area? So, we shouldn't be just hearers, but we should be doers. And so, look what he says in verse 25. This is a test to show that if you're only a hearer. He shows us here what it looks like to be a doer. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law and gives free, that gives freedom, circle that, man, that's awesome, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Circle the word intently. It means to stoop down, to examine closely. This past week, Nancy and I spent a couple of days at the beach. And we were walking along the beach, and the wind was blowing too hard for her. And so I was walking alone at the beach, and something just sparkled. But look, what is that? I couldn't see what it was. So guess what I did? What did I do? You get a smiley face. That is good. I stooped down and moved it around, and I thought, man, that might be my retirement. But it was a gill of a dead fish. How disappointing can that be? That's what he's saying here. He who looks intently. I gave you this a couple of weeks ago. Remember Peter and John going to the tomb? Peter outruns him, and John outruns him, so Peter's catching up, and he goes in the empty tomb, and he looks and studies the grave clothes, studies the body's gone. That's the word used here. Looked intently. It's not a cursory reading. It's not just glance at it. It is studying that. When we look intently into circle law of liberty, the perfect law that gives freedom. You know, when we think of law, we think of thou shalt not, Ten Commandments, and all. But don't you love this? He says, when you look intently into the Word of God, you look intently there because that is what gives you freedom. It's not what bounds us. So many people I've tried to share Christ with and all say, that life is too restrictive. I won't maintain my freedom. I want to do what I want to do. Boy, if they could only understand, when the Son of Man has set you free, you are free. You're free indeed. And it gives the perfect law that gives freedom. That's the Christian life. So we must examine the Word of God with purpose, eagerness, not a casual glance. True freedom, and it took me a long time coming up because of my pleasure of sin, high school days and different things. I looked at the Christian life as restrictive. Kind of like it's there, God's the cosmic killjoy. you can't have any fun at all. And so if you get out of line, he's got his hammer and he'll get you. I thought that of Christianity, being brought up in a very fervent Christian home. But the enemy kept saying, you give your life to Christ and you're going to have to cut out a lot of stuff and you're not going to have any fun anymore. And you're not. How many of y'all agree that your pastor has more fun than anybody you ever know? Don't Dwight and I have been accused of being drunk. Well, he was, but I wasn't. Because of the fun in life. And the Christian life is not just a bunch of laughs, but it's knowing that I'm free, knowing that Christ has done some wonderful things in my life. And so I came to embrace that obedience to God's word is not slavery. It's freedom. You want to be free? He can make you free. True freedom comes from living under God's design, not rejecting it. Obedience is not bondage, it's liberty. Get that locked in today. So when we hear and when we do, look at the results. You will be blessed in what you do. Now, circle the word blessed, but don't water it down. I know what we say. I tell people all the time, and you tell them too, what? Be blessed. Have a blessed day. Don't we tell people that? Well, try it. You might like it. You have an awful day. I know what we're saying, but circle that word blessed, because this is going to change your life. That word blessed is talking about the supernatural favor from the hand of God. You got it? Supernatural favor from the hand of God. It's a blessing about the incredible, wonderful goodness that only God has the power and knowledge to give. Right? A truly blessed life is one marked by God's favor. And I'm talking about supernatural favor. I'm talking about things that will blow your mind. How many of you, don't raise your hand, you desire that kind of blessing in your life? And before you answer, think about what that means. See, this is not something that's manufactured. It's not something that's manipulated. It's received, get this, because you say, yeah, I want that kind of blessing. I want God's favor, supernatural favor in my life. It's received when we respond to God's word with open hearts and willing hands. Both of those things. Open hearts and willing hands. This divine blessing isn't just for our private enjoyment, self-fulfillment. It is meant and given to us by God to shape our actions and priority. Someone said, genuine engagement with God's word transforms how we see ourselves. Some of you are going on a lot of guilt, had a lot of failures, got a lot of past junk. This kind of supernatural favor is a genuine engagement with God. It transforms how we see ourselves and, as importantly, how we view others. How we view others. We become people whose lives reflect God's character, who are attentive to the needs around us. It's not a my for and no more. It's not circle the camp. Can't let anything in. It's allowing God's favor to spill over into our acts, that's doing, of compassion. So then notice the challenge he gives in verse 26. Those who consider themselves to be religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, they deceive themselves. Have you noticed how many times that word deceived is used here? And their religion is worthless. Religion that our God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Circle the word consider. That's giving an estimation of yourself. It's how you present yourself, how you see yourself. It means how a person thinks or assumes them to be. He's saying here, if you consider, if you presume yourself to be religious, if you think, I'm pretty good, I would say I'm religious. Said, if you consider yourself to be religious and you do not have actions to back that up, that is a deceptive religion. It refers to outward practice without inner transformation. And he says it's of no value. So according to this verse, the kind of religion, and I don't even like that word, but kind of religion that God accepts, notice he says, is pure. That means genuine, sincere, without hypocrisy. That means when you see somebody on a Thursday, they're the same person you saw in this building on Sunday. There's no difference. You're real. You're authentic. You are transparent. Means be sincere. You don't wear a mask. You don't pretend to be. Back in the days of when they actors, one actor could play seven or eight parts simply by putting on a mask. They put on a mask, maybe it was a mask of a murderer, and he would act that part, run off the stage, get one. He'd come back as a sheriff. Played all those parts. Listen, we as Christians don't play but one part. One. And that's where followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're his sons and we're his daughters. And we're going to be pure, genuine, without hypocrisy. Look at the word undefiled. It means free from selfish motives. See, I know people that do serve others, but it's because they want recognition. They want to be thought highly of. He's saying, let it be undefiled. He reminds us that God is not impressed by our words alone. The words are beautiful. We express communication. It's expression of words. But he looks at how faith is lived out, how those words are lived out. And he does it in two very practical things in this verse. Practical compassion. God says, care about the most vulnerable, the orphans and widows. You know, back in this day, there was no welfare system. If you were an orphan or a widow, you were at the mercy of someone. There was no government programs. There was nothing to take care of the orphans and widows. And so therefore, they were the most vulnerable. And true religion, when you read the Word of God, you love. And he says, who are in distress. These people are in bad shape. You know, I think about it. It just came to my mind. You know who's the most vulnerable today? The unborn child. The most vulnerable. So when the word, we're being a doer of the word, it will be clear that we will have practical compassion toward others. We will. We'll love them. You say, well, I got some enemies. Jesus said, love your enemies, so you don't get away with that one either. But I'll give you an escape clause. He said you didn't have to like them. Well, that didn't do too good. Look at the second thing, personal holiness. Look what he says, keeping oneself unspotted from the world. This means resisting sinful influences, walking in the integrity of God. In other words, true religion in God's sight is not about rituals. It's not about empty words. It's about an active love for God, active love for others, and an active love for a life of holiness. And he reminds us what that looks like. Now take everything we looked at last week and this week. We looked at last week, what's on the inside comes out. As in the abundance of the heart, mouth speaks. And we looked at how you got to do away with those things on the outside, but you cannot do that on your own unless there's something on the inside. So you put God's word on the inside. It's active, it's alive, and guess what? It will show itself on the outside. A test for you to see whether... I have people all the time, well, I don't really understand where I am spiritually. I don't know if I'm growing. I don't know what's happening. I can give you a test. What comes out of your mouth? How do you treat people? How do you love God? All your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbors, yourself. You can consider yourself to be spiritual, but if corrupt speech comes out of your mouth, and that just doesn't mean cursing a blue streak or all that mess. It means treating people unkindly. You say, well, I have a neighbor that has a minor bird. And this thing is supposed to live to be 60. That's the average age. And he spends his summers up in New York and his winters down here. I live in a very affluent neighborhood, right? Concepcion, right? Oh, you went to the wrong house, by the way. That's a private joke. Just relax. And so I was over to see him one day, True story. This bird cusses a blue streak. I mean, just lays it out. And old Fred, my neighbor, you don't know who Fred is, he could watch this, couldn't he? Okay, that's my other neighbor that won't speak. But he looked at me and he said, oh, I have no idea where he got that. He must have heard that on TV. No, Fred, he heard it from you. Because you talk to me sometimes in those ways. That's on the inside. It's going to come out. And when it does, it should be. It's a good thing, too, because it shows us where we're. I don't want spiritual deception. I want God to show me where I may be pulled away. Maybe I'm giving too much slack in a certain area. But when we see this, he goes back last week, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. When that takes place, you will find out that's taking place because your inner world is being fed the things of God. Because that's being done, you're going to manifest that with the fruits of the Spirit in your life. And it'll be a life that experiences just unimaginable, supernatural blessings from God. You see how these things are? He says here, and you don't tame your tongue. He's reiterating what he's already said. This is what you're dealing with in your life. We will not be like the one who say they love God. Man, I challenge you. Let's make some commitments today. I had such a habit of cussing. I was good at it. Nancy and I got married. I'm still good at it. God changed my life at about 2-3 months after that. I mean, radically changed my life. I was working at Aero at the time. I might have told you this. You say, sometimes you repeat yourself, Elmer. I know, but I love to tell it and I love to hear it. So, and I was in that PV2 cockpit and I was getting the rust out of it. And I had a hammer and I had a chisel. And I missed the chisel. I hit my finger. It hurt to the bone. Now, I've been committed my life to Christ about 3 months at that time. I hit my finger. I cussed like a sailor. I cussed the hammer. I cussed the nail. That reminds me of a song. Y'all don't know the song. I don't need to go back to the beach, y'all. I'm too free. And some of the guys I've been trying to witness to and share with, they were down in the pit. There. You got the pit here, then you got the cockpit up there. They call them both pits, okay? And they looked at me and said, oh, that's how Jesus changes your life. I made a commitment that day. That's a habit I'm going to break. Now, being from Baker County, does sometimes that thought come in my mind? No. Not like it does yours. But you see, it's a thing there. I guess what I'm trying to get across is, I don't want us just to be churchgoers. Good people, but not transformed people. Not people that the gospel is changing our lives without doubt. True faith must show up in everyday conversations, not just religious settings on Sunday. That makes sense? I want you to close your eyes, bow your head. Let's ask the Holy Spirit. You ask the Holy Spirit right now to open up your understanding of what you heard, that you willingly submit to what He wants to do. If He opens your eyes to certain things, you're going to be obedient. Because you're going to be a doer. You're not just going to be a hearer. Oh, Holy Spirit. Open our understanding. God, help us to see the Christian life is not embracing a set of beliefs or doctrines, as important as that is. It's really not about religion at all. It's about an inner world being transformed by the living God. A God whose very word has been listened to, applied to every fiber of our being. And that making a difference in our lives will make a difference how we deal with other people. We need to ask the question, am I making a difference in other people's lives? How can we say we love God whom we have not seen if we can't love each other whom we do see? One thing that came to my mind this past week of the horrible event that took place with Charlie Kirk, like it or not, he made a difference. That's being seen by millions across this world. People knew where he stood. I had to ask myself, do people know where I stand? You know, many times I heard reporters and people that actually knew him and was a friend of his said one thing about him, he woke up every day with purpose. When I heard that, I said, God, work that in my life every day. May I understand you got a plan and purpose for my life. He was asked. Charlie Kirk was asked if he what it was that he wanted people to know. In other words, what legacy did he want to leave? Here were his words. He wanted people to know his love for Jesus and his love for others. I love what I heard him say on one occasion because his life was threatened every day. How did he view death? Here's how he viewed death. Here's what he said. Death is not to be feared. It simply enters you into the presence of Jesus. Elmer, what are you leaving? What are you leaving? What do you stand for? Are you a hearer or a doer? A verse came to my mind this past week with the condition that we see this planet in, and especially this nation, whom we all love, is seeing the time, seeing the time. It's high time we'll wake out of sleep. Holy Spirit, wake us up. Wake us up right now. Shake us. Do what you need to do to us. I want to challenge each one in this room to hear Joshua's challenge. Choose today who you're going to serve. If God be God, serve him. But if Baal be God, serve him. How did the Holy Spirit speak to you? What was going on in your mind? I'm confident in what I preach and do as a pastor because I'm confident in the Holy Spirit to do a work. I cannot persuade you. If I can persuade you, someone else is going to unpersuade you. But if the Holy Spirit of God moves in your life, whether it's regeneration, in salvation, whether it's man, I really have been a hearer. Now, we need to dive deeper into this, and we will Wednesday, but what does that look like? It's not all just going around with placards and preaching and all that. That's not it. It's living daily with the awareness that God has a plan and purpose for my life. And some days it'll be visible, other days it will not. But my willingness when I get up in the morning is to say, this is the day you've made, Lord. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. It may bring some painful things. It did in the Kirk family. It may be other things, may be joys. Therefore, you need to praise Him in all things. But seeing the time, that's where God has me so focused. Seeing the time, it's high time we wake out of sleep. I ask myself the question, are we getting closer to the Lord or further away from the Lord? Are we seeing the manifestations of God's work in our lives and the lives of the church we attend or what? And zeroed me in on 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then you'll hear from heaven and He'll heal your land. Can I make an application for fellowship? You'll see this congregation take on new life, a greater life. You're wonderful people. I love pastoring you. The easiest people I've ever been around. But I'm not satisfied, are you? And I want God to just let this spark be here. You heard Kenny say, one man changed millions. One church can change so many people when my people get right with God.